The Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am going, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to Jesus, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my God also. From now on, you do know and have seen our God." Now Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Holy Parent, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and still you do not know me? Whoever has seen my God, how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the God who dwells in me does these works. Believe me that I am in the Holy Parent and the Holy Parent is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to God. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Holy One may be glorified in the Son. And if in my name you ask for anything, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Thank you, Jane. Come and go with me to my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house. It's a big, big house with lots and lots of rooms. A big, big table with lots and lots of food. A big, big yard where we can play football touchdown. A big, big house. It's my Father's house. All right, now some of y'all knew that one, right? Now, I spent 4 summers as a camp counselor at Camp Lutherland in western Pennsylvania, and then several summers before that as a camper, which means that sometimes I read Bible stories and can't not hear the camp version of that Bible story done in song with specific motions that are often regional and depends which camp you are a part of. Now, this is one that, as I read our gospel reading for today, I heard the song Big House by Newsboys, and I couldn't not start doing the motions that went along with it, because that's how I know the story. I know it through that song. But beyond that, this particular song sticks in my brain because it's such an embodied way of telling this story, telling this interaction that Jesus has with the disciples as he tries to comfort them. Now, in our liturgical year, which is a fancy way of saying the church calendar, right? The kind of order of how we do things in the church on the Sundays, we have done the 40 days of Lent, right? We've journeyed through the season of Lent. We've done Maundy Thursday, where we hear the foot washing and remember the invitation to serve one another. We've done Good Friday, where we hear about Jesus' death on the cross. And we've done Easter morning celebrations, where the women have come to the tomb. It's empty, and Jesus is out and about. Now, we checked in with Thomas, the twin, right, or doubting Thomas. We've heard about Jesus on the road to Emmaus. And last week, we had a little bit of Jesus reminding us that he is the good shepherd. But this story, this one that we just heard, that I think of Big House to, in the timeline of Jesus' actual life, takes place prior to his death, right? So Jesus is telling his disciples all these things well before we get to the Holy Week stuff that we've just celebrated in the last month here in our human lives. This story comes before the Holy Week chaos, and it's a conversation where Jesus and his disciples are hanging out together, and he's trying to teach them that some big stuff is going to happen. but he wants to reassure them that there will be room for them in God's house. Now, I should take a moment and share with you that I don't often refer to God as Father. Now, it's for a couple of reasons. First and foremost, I think God is too big and too wild to be limited to just one gender or just one parent or just one human being. I don't think God is human, and calling God Father makes me think of a human father and other human fathers that don't quite capture the full essence of who God is. Now, sometimes I'll call God Tunkashula, which is Lakota for Holy Grandfather, and the word that my Lakota friends use for God, something about Holy Grandfather, I have a different visual of that. Sometimes I'll call God Papa or Mama, so it feels like a close relationship and a little less formal. But usually, I'll just say Creator, or I'll keep it simple with God, and maybe Holy God if I'm feeling real wild. That's a joke. You can laugh. It's okay. Now, ultimately, the name for the divine is just that, a name. You can use whatever name you want, right? Because it's a name signifies the relationship you have with that being or that person or that divine. So, for instance, I'm Auntie Mermer to my godson. I think I've told some of you all this before. If you start calling me Auntie Mermer, I'm probably going to be a little concerned because that's not our relationship, right? I'll respond, but if Barb is like, hey, Auntie Mermer, I'll be like, this is a different relationship than we have, Barb, right? That doesn't mean I'm not Auntie Mermer, but that's not the relationship we have, right? Now, I'll never be Auntie Mermer on my passport or my driver's license, but it's how Henry knows me. And it's how he's known me since he first began to speak, and I hope it's how he'll always know me. Now, someday, I may just become Aunt Mer, or Aunt Meredith, or when he's a really cool teenager, probably something like, dude, or bro. I'm dreading that day. But whatever name Henry calls me, or you call me, or anyone else in my life, it's the right way, right? It's the way that you relate to another. This should be the same of God. Use the language that feels right in your relationship to God. So even though I may not use Father, that's not saying you can't use Father. Use the language that reflects the relationship you have with that divine, the Holy One, the Creator, Tunkashula, Papa, Mama, God. Now, this was a bit of a rabbit trail, I know, but I needed to address it because this story and the song use Father's house and uses the title Father for God a lot. And it's in such a descriptive way that it's one of the few times I will actually use Father repeatedly for God. Not to limit God to one gender or one role, but because when I sing this song and I hear this conversation that Jesus has with his friends, I picture a young teenager Jesus, even though he was a grown-up at the time, telling his friends, hey, come over to my house. Because his house was the cool place to be. The safe place to be, where all his friends could come hang out. Do any of you have the cool house for your kids? Or did you? Yeah? At some point, maybe you had the cool house for your kids. Like, they knew they could come over with whatever number of friends, right? And that you would probably not roll your eyes too much at how much they ate, right? You would just sort of accept that that's just the quantity of pizza rolls and Takis that teenagers consume in this day and age, right? Now, I did not grow up in a cool house because probably my mom was always a little nervous that someone was going to judge us for being too messy, which if you have three kids, your house will be messy. Like, that is a standard fact, right? But growing up, I think my mom was worried that other people would judge us for being human beings living in the house that we lived in. But my friend Shelley's house was the cool house when I was a kid. She had a basketball court, a trampoline, a swimming pool, and her parents even got a hot tub when we were in middle school. Her parents always took us to the roller skating rink or to hockey games, wherever we wanted to go to hang out. They were always willing to give us a ride. Now, if you weren't the cool house, right, do you remember whose house was the cool house when you were growing up? You remember maybe a neighbor or maybe it was a grandparent or a relative, somebody else. Do you remember that house? Maybe who that was? or whose parents were always up for driving you across town to whatever shenanigan you wanted to get into? Do you remember what it felt like when you could just show up and that you and all your friends were allowed to eat all the snacks on the counter and there's lots of room to play and feel safe? That's the feeling that Jesus is trying to convey to his disciples. He's telling his disciples, hey, y'all. Yeah, Jesus is Southern in some of my retellings. Like, it just is what it is. Hey, y'all, come hang out with me at my pop's house. It's great. We'll have so much room for activities, and there's a huge table, and we can eat all the food, and there's lots of space for everyone to just come hang out. So come on. Now, hopefully y'all are kind of like, yeah, I like this Jesus, right? Like, let's go to your dad's house, man. Party! Right? But to set this into context, remember that Jesus was teaching the disciples that this is how God was and is. And that in itself is countercultural to how they had learned about other gods and the divine. They had been taught that gods either called for blood sacrifices of animals and children, demanding death before life, right? Those were the sort of ancient gods that you put something on an altar as a sacrifice for that god, and then that god wouldn't be so angry, right? Then your crops would be blessed, you'd have good water, you'd have prosperity as long as you sacrificed something you loved, an animal, a child, something to those gods. Other people were raised with what we now call the Old Testament God, which, to be frank, has a lot more death and destruction than I'm comfortable with. And Jesus, in this conversation, is telling folks, hey, y'all, I know that you've experienced pain and shame from your past relationships with the divine, but here's the thing. The God that I know, the God that I love, the God that I want you to know, well, my God has a really big house, like a massive house. And that is a metaphor for the inclusive and expansive nature of God's love for all of you and everyone else who's not standing here right now. Now, this was so different than the message that Jesus and the disciples had grown up with. And so what he was telling them was this entirely new way of being, that there is this house big enough for everyone, and a table long enough for everyone to eat, and a yard big enough to play football and baseball and jump on the trampoline and play in the pool. Recently, I had a conversation with one of my atheist friends, and I love talking theology with my atheist friends because they help me get out of church words and be like, what does this actually mean? And he said, you know, I'd rather people choose to believe in a deity rather than be indoctrinated. So he said, I'd rather people choose it rather than indoctrinating. And as we talked about it, I agreed with him. I would rather people choose to hang out in God's house because they know there's room for them there than to be there because they're afraid of being anywhere else. I told my atheist friend that I would rather have 10 people come to my church because they wanted to know God for themselves versus 100 people who come to church because they're afraid that if they don't, they'll get struck down by a lightning bolt. You laugh, but some of you may have that feeling. And if you are sitting here feeling like, if I'm not here, I'm going to get struck down by a lightning bolt, let's schedule a coffee date, please. But Jesus telling his friend, the disciples, all of us, that there are many rooms, lots of dwelling places in his Father's house, it's one of these profound declarations that reminds us that no matter where we go, what we have done, what kind of home we grew up in, how messy our houses are, or how loud our kids are, or what we look like, or who we love, that there is, in fact, a room, a space, a safe space, a welcoming space in God's big, cool, awesome house for you, for every one of you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, Jesus says, but know that I am going ahead of you. And that big stuff is going to happen in the future, friends. But I'm getting the cabin opened up. I'm getting it ready for you, Jesus says. I'm going to make sure that there are soft sheets on the bed and fresh food in the fridge and the door unlocked and the heat on so that when you come in, you feel really welcomed in the house. Come and go with me, Jesus says, to my Father's house. All are welcome in God's house. Thanks be to God. Amen.